Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited about what God is going to show us, tell us today. Amen. Concerning His Word, we welcome you. We honor you for your presence. Thank you, God, for those who are in the building, those who are online. We thank God for you. We bless His name. We give Him praise. We give Him honor. We give Him glory. On behalf of our co-founder, our apostle, Archbishop D.W. Smith, welcome to Light of the World Noonday Bible Study. We are in the book of Romans, Romans 7th chapter. Amen. And we are so excited about what God is going to show us today. Hallelujah. So let us give God some praise. Let us give Him some honor because He is worthy of the praises. He deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the praise. Great is His name and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. And we will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in our mouth. Hallelujah. Our soul will make a boast thereof, and the humble will hear about it. Hallelujah. They're going to get glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless Him today. We glorify Him because truly God is good. You can't even spell good without God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless Him. We honor Him today. I'm excited about what God is doing. Thank God for a holy convocation. My God, I pray that everything that we have heard, amen, that we would not let it die. Hallelujah. Just with us, flow, amen, so the people around us can feel the impact, amen, and be influenced by what we experienced in God this week. I mean, last week, we thank God for, I mean, from the beginning, amen, till the closing, amen, God is so good. His word is so mighty and strong, and that's why it pays for us to really study this word to get it in us. So when it get in us, hallelujah, it's got to come out. Amen. You cannot get clogged up with the word. You got to let it out. Hallelujah, because we become a channel of blessing. Amen. So today we're talking about Romans, the 7th chapter. Amen. And we're going to have Elder Keith open us in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go forward.
Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we give glory to your name today. Hallelujah. Oh, God, Father, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just know you are the one. You are the one we praise. We give glory, honor, reverence, benevolence to your most holy, immaculate name. Father, we thank you for your word that is set before us. We thank you, Father, for those saints who are gathered together and to learn and to study thy word, that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for this place that we come to. We thank you for this day. And, Father, we even thank you, God, because nothing is a surprise to you. We thank you for even this weather, good weather, sunny weather, bad weather, rainy, hot weather. God, we still thank you that we are above ground to experience wherever we are. Father, hallelujah. Let your word dwell richly in us. We thank you for Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We thank you for our shepherd, Dr. Ruth Smith. We thank you for all fivefold ministries, all lay persons. We thank you most of all for your rich word and that it dwell in us, God. Let it encamp and bind us, God, that we may be able to go out and save a dying world, Father. Every day, let us be a witness to someone as they cross our path and we cross theirs. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
it's who I got.
Every word of worship.
With one God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God. Come on, say every praise. Say every praise. It's to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up, every praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God.
Because of Jesus and what he's done for us, now the law is no longer applying to us in that sense that we don't have to be governed by it. Because all the Lord did was tell us when we were wrong. And in order to get to do better, you got to know when you do wrong. It's the law, but we don't live by the law because we have something greater that's going to help us to live the law, not just try to observe the law. Because observing something is different from doing it. You can observe a game, but that don't mean you play. You can observe a whole lot of things, but that don't mean you're participating in it. And so the law is we can observe the law, but it has no impact on us if we don't participate and do what's right. And so God knew we wasn't able to do that on our own, so he gave us some help, which is the Holy Ghost. And so I pull out a commentary on and this is what it says. It says, so long as man continues under the law as a covenant and seeks justification by his own obedience, he continues the slave of sin in some form. So no matter what, he's going to be a slave. Nothing but the spirit of life in Christ Jesus can make any sinner free from the law of sin and death. Believers are delivered from that power of the law which condemns for sin committed by them. And they are delivered from the power of the law which stir up and provoke the sin that dwells in them. Sin is that not of the law as a rule, but as a covenant of work. In profession and privilege, we are under a covenant of grace and not under a covenant of works. Under the gospel of Christ, not under the law of Moses. The difference is spoken of under the figures of being married to a new husband. And the second marriage is to Christ. By death, we are freed from the obligation of the law as a covenant, as the wife is free from her vows of her husband if he's dead. In our believing powerfully and effectively, we are dead to the law and have no longer more to do with it than the dead servant who is freed from his master has to do with the master's yoke. The day of our believing is the day of being united with the Lord Jesus. We enter upon a life of dependence on him and duty to him. Good works are from union with Christ. As the fruitfulness of the vine is the product of being united with the root to God till we are united with Christ. The law, the greatest effort of one under the law, still is in the flesh, under the power of corrupt principles, cannot set the heart right with regard to law, the love of God, overcome worldly lust, or give truth or sincerity to the inward part, or anything that comes from special sanctifying influences by the Holy Ghost. Nothing more than a formal obedience to the outward letter of any precept can be performed by us without renewing and recreating grace in the new covenant. And so we can do nothing. So when I think about how he's saying that now when we say we die, we are still a slave to Christ, not to the law, but to Christ, because we're going to serve somebody. We're going to be a slave. And the commentary of being a slave is not necessarily that you are impoverished and you lack and you're going without. Because, you know, slavery used to mean that you are demeaned. You are the lower class citizen. But in this commentary, he's not talking about being a low class. It's being yields up your rights. You are now no longer trying to do things on your own. You don't feel that, and that's why the word of God in Proverbs say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? Direct your path. Because you're realizing that you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And so you're depending on him to lead you and direct your path no matter what you got to do today. He knows what's best for you. You don't. Sometimes we feel like we do. But truth be told, we don't know what's best for us. And so he already have a blueprint lined out for us. All we have to do is tap into it. And then so as a slave, no longer trying to figure out what they should do, when they should do it, we are now have that mindset that we're not going to do our own thing. So that's what the connotatory meaning that when we say slaves, don't take it as, oh, we are just bond servants. Because he even said, Paul said one time, we are prisoners. But that don't mean we are in chains. It just means that we're going to succumb to whatever the will of God is. That's really what Paul is trying to get them to say. We're not bound with the law, that all the law did was condemn. What we want to do is we want to yield about right to do anything and say, Lord, not my will. Like Jesus said, your will be done. We're going to submit to your will. So now in the frame of not having our will, we are slaves. But we are free to obey or disobey, but now we're going to yield because we want to be in total submission. We're going to yield our will to the will of Christ. And so that's where we are with Paul just trying to stress to these saints at the Church of Rome that you have to have this relationship. So he began to talk about the relationship with the law. Then he did the somebody's being dead, like you're dead, you're free from the lust. And then he's talking about also now the widow being free from her husband. And then he's going to move on and talk about now our relationship with Christ. What kind of relationship we have with Christ? Now we know the relationship with the law is done away with in a sense that we don't have to have a covenant with the law anymore. We have a covenant now with Christ. Okay? So we're going to start at in verse 4. Let's go back. Verse 4, he said, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So we're no longer going to be fruit of the flesh now. We're going to be fruit of righteousness, which is fruit of God. So we are no longer a part of trying to live by the law. Okay? So let's go with verses 5 and 6. Yeah. Because again, Paul is talking to three types of people.
Yes.
First, he's talking to the spiritual people. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to talk to the natural people. Then he's going to talk to the
spiritual people. Mm-hmm. So this is another. So that set of fruit took that for a new fanatic.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and that's why we get pushed it up. Because if we know who he's talking to, then we know how to listen to marriage. He's talking about the contents of how you understand. Yeah. So we're going to ask Elder David to listen to his comments. Those of you online, if you want to comment, screen test one. So we know that press one on your phone so we can bring you out. Thank you for joining in. We'd love to have you here. Okay.
Verse 5. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law that brings death, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the law. Paul at one point wrote that the law was like excuse. As we move from first grade to second grade, to third grade, to graduation. We go past puberty. That's the way, that's what the law was like. God didn't want to give the law. The Israelites wanted the law. So God reluctantly gave the law. And so, you know, but problem was they didn't do what they were supposed to do because moving past the law. Because at one point, well, when God set them up, they were supposed to have been products to the world. They were supposed to have been the ones that were going to keep, pick this thing up to the world. But they didn't do it. And that's why, one of the reasons why they stayed in the desert for 40 years, because they didn't learn what they were supposed to learn, go where to do what they were supposed to do. And so God had to let them drop off and pick up this younger generation, this new generation, and get them prepared to go forth to teach the word of God. But they were supposed to teach about the coming of Jesus Christ, which they either didn't accept or didn't understand. So this thing about the law is picking it up, not throwing it away. Now, Jesus said, I didn't come to change anything of the law. I come to fulfill it. So, but without them not teaching and bringing in Jesus Christ, preparing the way for Jesus Christ, they wasn't doing what God had wanted them. So this thing, the law was really what got them in the wilderness for 40 years, not passing the law, getting past the law. And when Jesus came on the scene, even before he came on the scene, the whole thing was really about him. Because at one point he told the so-called leaders, you study the word, you know the word, and you think through them you have salvation, but it's really me that they're talking about. So the problem with the law is for people now who are under the law, it's people who want to hang on or cling to the law instead of moving on past the law until the next phase. And God wanted Adam and Eve, God wanted the whole world to be like it was before Adam and Eve sinned. He wanted Adam and Eve to spread the gospel, spread the goodness of God. He wanted the Israelites to spread the word of Jesus Christ past the law, but they failed to do so. So if they had did what God had set them up to do in the beginning, there would have been no need to have crucified Jesus Christ. He would not have had to come and die for sinful man because of what Adam and Eve did. But Adam and Eve never got past the disobedience that they set up in the garden. God said that he viewed their disobedience as rebellion, and that rebellion as sin, and sin brought death into the world. So that's what spread the whole thing. If they had not hooked up or obeyed or disobeyed God when they dealt with Lucifer or Satan, whoever, whatever name they called Satan in the garden, the serpent, old serpent, then none of this would have happened. So that's why Jesus had to come along.
The word, and I was looking at on verse 5, starting when it's saying about in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that a little bit, and it was just speaking about their unregenerated state. Mm-hmm. It was just right in the, when somebody, you're in the flesh, in the state that you were born.
your unregenerated state, that you were born in iniquity and sin. And so he was just saying the law here, it could try to help that, but it couldn't change that part.
Yeah.
But like he said, this set of regimental, things to do. And on six, I have some notes here on six. I have here, the law made no provision for pardon. It made no provision. It gave you this, that, the other. And so in six will say, in that particular verse, breaking things down, the law, it made no provision for pardon. Not only that, it had not the power to bind you to it, even if you wanted to. People said, oh, that's the law, I don't have to obey that. So it was a law, and they knew it was restricted, a regimental precepts and concepts they have to follow. But because the law itself, it had no power to bind them to it. They can still change it. As a matter of fact, they were changing it. They added, so many other things, and they could, stretch the law or do whatever, like we do today. And so, but then when he got to the but now on six, we are delivered. We are delivered. The law is rendered destroyed, it was saying. The law is rendered. Let me see. Furthermore, I'm on the wrong thing. Seven, okay. The law having died, which we are bound, so now we serve in the new spirit. But what it was saying here, now we have been released from the law, and we have been delivered from the law. The law is rendered destroyed or slain in us by the body of Christ. And that was another one I was reading out of. And so I said, oh, well, why are they using that language, destroyed or slain? And the commentary was saying that this language is used to impress on the reader the violence of Jesus' death on the cross, to help him to visualize the wrenching agony that Jesus went through in order to deliver us from the law. When he was saying, now you no longer have to, be under this law, and it's destroyed in you, and now there's a new, you no longer have to, be connected to the old man or the old letter of the law, and the oldness of the letter. I think that's what it said here, the oldness of the letter, which had no regard. I thought this was interesting, and it almost reiterates what I was saying before, because it was saying the oldness of the letter, it had no regard for the state of the heart. It was just all regimental. It was nothing in there to make your heart pliable or love God more. So it just had no regard for the state of the heart. And also, it was had no provision for pardon in that. And that, and you could take it or leave it. You could break the law and, whatever, but your heart wouldn't feel any indifference, like the Holy Spirit under the new, you feel something.
When I was thinking about this, it's almost like you have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can make calls on this cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But now you also can check email.
Mm-hmm.
You can search the website. You can search the web. You can do all kinds of things on this one instrument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because now it's complete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus came, the law only did this part of it, that you don't. Okay, you sin. If you do this, you sin. Couldn't do anything else. But when Jesus came, died for us, now if we accept what he did, because what he did was, He satisfied the Lord through his death. When he died, he satisfied the penalty of sin. So now what we have in Christ now, we don't have to deal with the law because it's been satisfied. The penalty has been satisfied. And so because the penalty has been satisfied, when we accept Christ, that's why he's going to say in the 8th chapter, therefore now there's no condemnation. Because the law, the penalty of the law has been satisfied through Christ. And so that's why the law is complete in Christ. Because whatever the law wanted to do was to penalize you. All the law was to do was to say, you did wrong. So now that penalty has been satisfied through Christ. So it has no more effect if you accept the law, if you accept Christ. Now the law has no effect on you because Christ has already satisfied that.
And I think connected to what you said, you mentioned about yourself and what Elder Davis was saying about the progression of matriculating from this, that, and the other, and they never grew out of it. I was thinking of your example was, you know, way back there before, all we had was a beeper.
Come on.
And the beeper would just only let you know somebody's trying to reach
you. Call.
And then you had to go to
call.
So
you
got to go to a phone. The beeper would just only let you know so much.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, the progression, like you just said, from the beeper to the cell phone. Yeah.
So now there's a complete package right here.
Yeah.
And so if we see how it's quite strong, is the complete package of what we need for salvation. We don't have to deal with trying to go back and use a beeper. We don't have to go to a corner and try to find a paper, a phone booth. And so now everything is complete because of what Christ did. And so Paul is just trying to demonstrate to them to get it in their head that you don't have to keep dealing with the law if you get Christ. The law is dealt with because now the what Christ does is bring grace in. Well, now he satisfied the penalty of sin, but now grace gives you the freedom to just submit to him and say, not my will, yours be done. I'm dead to that law. I don't have to be concerned about trying to keep these rituals. All I have to do is love you, because he said, there's two commandments that fulfill them all. Love the Lord their God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you know that it deals with, the first part deals with the love of God, love for God. Have no other God before me. All these things deal with God. Then the rest deal with your neighbor. Yeah. So if you love God, if you ever love God with all your heart, all your might, with everything in you, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. So therefore, the law is complete if you do that. But the thing is that the law couldn't help you to love. It can help you to hate now. Because if somebody did this and did that, then you can point out all this stuff. You can point out the love of God allows you to love. It ain't going to make you love, but it allows you to love. Now you can love without dissemination. You can love purely with agape, because it ain't you loving, it's the love of God in you loving. And so what when Christ died on the cross, it gave us a complete package that everything that we need is in Christ. You used to have a song back in the day, all that I need is in the Lord. Everything we ever think we need is in Christ. And so when we recognize that everything is in him, then we can really act like a slave and say, I don't want my desire to be met. I don't want my will to be done. I'm going to just yield up what I want and accept what you're going to give me. So now I don't mind having a slave mentality to you, because you're going to treat me right. The law gonna punish me. But you're gonna have mercy on me. You already did. You're gonna have grace. You're gonna have grace with me. When you're dealing with me, you're gonna fill me, surround me with your grace and your mercy. And David say, surely goodness and mercy gonna follow me. So when, all the days, not just one day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when I do good. No, all the days of my life, right? And so the thing is that what we got to realize that Christ did what he did on the cross, gave us a complete package. Everything we need is in him. And so once we accept him and become, again, when we die to our old life, we become one with him now. Because, you know, Paul say we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but let not I, but Christ live in me. So now if Christ is living in me, everything I do is going to be according to his will, not mine. And so that's the challenge we have as Christians, is to make sure his will is done on a daily basis. Our challenge really is to make sure, is his will being done today in my life? You know, his will can be done in somebody else's life, but don't benefit me. Is it being done in his will according to my life? Because his will according to my life is different from yours. So I don't know why people want to be jealous of other folks. So it's different. His will for me is different from yours. He didn't expect us to go die on the cross. Now, Peter, some of them did die on the cross. Because if we have God, we have all we need. And it's maturity that is lacking. For you to have that mindset, you are immature. We are all God's children. when Peter them said I think James and John's mom said I want my two boys. Want to put them boys up? Put them, yeah, one of the best, right? That's our mothers up. I want them. Do you really know what you're asking? You know. So when you want to be put up, it shows a sign of immaturity. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that God hates. Pride is so deadly that you are blinded by truth, because only your truth you know, and your truth can be as flawed as can be. Because if my temperament, I'm going to say it like that, or my personality is to be, how we call it? Let's get political. We call it, I'm outspoken. Now, you mean as a devil, but you call it outspoken. And then the thing is that when they're being outspoken, they call it, or mean and nasty, when they're doing it, they can't see it as that. But if you do it, they can see it real clear. Because pride, because the Holy Ghost in you got to tell you, there's something wrong with you. I mean, it does it to me. I mean, I'll go home and I'll, even when I go back to you and say, did I say that right to you? I didn't even talk about that. And I said, okay. But you can't just say anything and do whatever you want to the people and think it's okay. And the Holy Ghost in you, it's going to tell, they're going to bother you if even if the person who did not get offended in it, it's going to still bother you because you want to do right. It's got to bother you. That way, I went to this person and said, I didn't even thought about it. Danielle, the worst thing you can be is repeat sentence. Because after a while, it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And it would get, and that's what happens. When it becomes a habit, it's not wrong. It becomes a what I do. It becomes a who I am. And this is what, you know, God expressed to me when I was writing my book on marriage. The baggage is who we are. That's based on all our personalities, all our traits, all our beliefs, all our habits, all our unresolved issues. All that is who we are. And that's what we got to deal with that. You got to get that right. Because especially if you want to be in a relationship with somebody else, that thing is going to be contrary to what they do. You're going to be conflict. So the same thing with God. And the thing about, I don't want to get off, but I begin to see how a marriage relationship is worse.
Yeah.
And because Paul symbolizes it the same as Christ and the church. Having a great relationship with Christ is work.
Mm-hmm.
He said, work out your own soul salvation. With what? Fear and trembling. You got to work at this because if you don't, you'll miss God. And to slip in and come in, and it ain't the big thing that happens, the little fox, that's fall of vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to work on our soul salvation. We got to work on this thing. Every day you got to make sure I'm doing, because what do you say? We got to die daily. That's work. I mean, getting rid of your flesh is it ain't easy. You gotta put some fasting, some prayer on that thing, and ask the Holy Ghost to sit on you. When you want to do that thing that flesh, you ought to slap that. You ought to slap the taste out of their mouth. And it sounds good and feels good to just woo, but the Holy Ghost is asking to sit on you. And so Paul is just trying to demonstrate to them, do not worry about trying to keep the law. You're wasting your time. You're going back. You're going backwards. You want to matriculate. You want to keep going. You want to keep growing. And that's why I'm saying maturity is important. And he's trying to get them to maturity. Most of all these verses in all these chapters already is trying to get them to mature. And we see we got Sister Ollie, hands up. You are now live on the air, Sister Ollie.
Okay. I would like to say something about the law. Under the law, we did not bear fruit to God because the law aroused the passion of sin in us. If it wasn't for the law, we would not have known that we were in sin, like coveting. So the law served its purpose, but when Christ came on the scene, yes, he came to fulfill it. Even though we are not still under the law, we still cannot do away with the law. It was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 That's all I got to say.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Your presence is missed. You want to know that. Amen. We thank God for you. And so the thing is that once we have Christ in us, then the law is not necessary. Because if you are one who is obeying the street sign really ain't there for you. It's for those folks who want to not stop. The speed limit is for those people who want to not obey the law. That's what it's for, because if everybody was obeying the law, the courthouse would be shut down.
But I think of what Sister Ali just said, too, the law is, I think it's still there for us,
mm-hmm.
because if you don't know that law, it's not that you would purposely try to disobey
mm-hmm.
it. But I understand what you're saying, because there is
the law there, you know, I can understand you saying the people who want to, but I still need that particular, I'm just talking about so far as
the natural
civil, you know, that the civil laws, we still need them. We don't know them because you might go in a different town or something like that. And just because Christ is in you, that doesn't mean that you don't need to know the civil laws and things that go on there.
Yeah.
And so, we might want to test it and go, you know, the law itself. But I'm glad it's there as a reminder and as a visual aid. And, of course, the Christ in you would say, oh, yeah, that's I look at the thing, I slow down a little, you know, did it, you know, just a couple times today because my mind wasn't on it until that thing on the side of the road. And I was just like, not that I was trying to speed or break the law, you know, you get something, you look at it and this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, my 45, wait, 52, wait a minute, let me ease up a little just in case. So you don't know. They're always waiting around the corner to trip you up, you know, and somebody can pass you doing 70, but he and you might be doing 52. And, next thing you know, I'm like, hallelujah. So
so the law, again, with Christ,
yeah,
is true.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not disregarding the law,
no.
But with Christ, have those because when we love God with all our heart, love our neighbors, we're gonna do. All the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to just not recognize the law. We're going to do the law.
The law.
There's a difference where it's not just recognizing or just knowing, having the physical knowledge of it. We talked about it before. Not just having the form of godliness and denying the power, meaning that we have been transformed. We're changed now. We're not lawless. We're lawful. And so everything we produce is going to be fruit of righteousness. That we're going to produce stuff now that's going to be pertaining to right. As opposed to when we were in sin, under the law, all we could produce was lawlessness. Because anything you focus on, that's what's going to be. It's amazing how if you're driving and you're looking at a ditch on the side of the road, your car starts turning that way. It's amazing. So wherever you focus on, that's where you go ahead. And my school master back in the Bahamas used to tell us, go where you're looking or look where you're going.
Yeah.
You can't do both. Do one or the other. Look where you're going or go where you're looking. And so you cannot have both of them. So you in Christ, and you got to focus on what God wants you to do and have the heart of Christ. And so you will produce the thing that's in you. That's the only thing you can do. You can't produce anything in is not in you. You can't produce it. And so when you see somebody who can't produce the fruit of righteousness, you ought to know ain't no seed of righteousness inside. The only way fruit can come out is just feeding, right? It ain't just produce. We can't expect this kid to produce an apple. We can't do that, right? So, but if an apple tree, we know apple should be on that. We're not. Do like Jesus did with our fig tree. Curse that thing. Yeah. I mean, acting like you full bloom, like you got some fruit on you. You got to better and cuss that thing. So now we on, let's go to verse 7 and 8. That's Elder Under Heat. You ain't read yet.
I have the New American Standard. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet.
Mm-hmm.
8. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind from apart from the law of sin is death. For apart from the law, sin is death. Amen. I got it right there then. And I think we just kind of explained 7.
Yep.
even all while we were doing the commentary so far as that. So we do, you know, he said, well, the law was necessary to let me know that I was doing wrong. So the law revealed or brought forth or shook something up in our conscious self that says, you know, there's corruptness still within your flesh. And that helped as a guide. And so in 8, one of the things I think took to me was like this, sin took opportunity through the law. When I was saying up above, the law was there, but because you were still in the flesh under the old man, then, mm-hmm. you know, you have a heart of righteousness. So sin would come in even under the guidelines of the law and cause you to, you know, way and do whatever, even though sometimes you could just, you know, you were trying to maybe do something right, but you were doing something wrong because it was the regiment of the law. And I think I was thinking about that was something they used to do, and just in some of the, you know, studies and just almost seeing it, you know, on a Sabbath they could only travel but a certain amount, and so I know a distance from their home and places, and even when I was in Israel and South, I could see those wires. They still had things up above, like they were boundaries up from where the people could travel from their home. Well, I don't know if the story is true, but in Bible College, one of the professors was just saying how they got by that law, especially when Jesus, you know, was coming to towns and towns and starting his ministry, and some of them, they were. And one of the laws was, or one of the added-ons to that, the man's, your possessions in your home was where you lived. But, you know, if you took that possession and put it somewhere else, you still at home. You're a nomad, you know, but you said that's your home. And so, you know, we said your possessions is where your home is. And so when they wanted to break the law, you know, to go past the boundaries of what they could do with those on the travel, even on the Sabbath the night before or something, they would take, you know, the stool or their little something and sit it by that way up the road by something. And so, you know, they manipulate the law. They might have even wanted to see Jesus or hear a prophet or whatever, and it could have been past the boundaries of there where they were supposed to travel. So they got around the law. They just take their stuff, you know, with my little bag, knapsack, and my little three-legged stool, you know, a couple miles up the road the night before, and then, you know, this is my stuff. That's my possession. Yeah, I stay right there. That's my stuff. So... They just, like I just said, they found, man, it said his sin took the opportunity mm-hmm. to cause you to get around the law.
Mm-hmm. And the example you brought out about on your day is so clear that if you didn't see the signs, you wouldn't have acknowledged that. Uh-oh. And the other part of that is, the sin nature would have said, you know, police around. And so you didn't take an opportunity with that knowledge of the law to commit a sin. Because now that you know you're past the limit, it's up to you now to get in line. But what the sin nature did, well, even though you know you're wrong, you're going to gas up some more. They go, oh, ain't nobody around. And so that's the difference of now the sin nature as opposed to the resurrected. The resurrected heart and mind. So that's why now the love is you want to make sure you please God as opposed to doing what you feel like doing. Because, if you know, there's a lot of things we feel like doing, but they may not be right in the sight of God. So that is a perfect example. I mean, that is really you can see, you can identify that because you're just driving along. Ain't thinking about, but all of a sudden the law comes up. Hey, here's what it is. Now you acknowledge that, and the first thing you want to do is, oh, I got to get in line. But now you have what verse 8 and 7 and 8 is saying, that you take opportunity of what you know about the law to manipulate it. If you're still in the flesh, you're gonna say, hey, ain't nobody out here. And on my car, I have warnings that if there's a speed trap, they call it. If I got speed trap, my GPS don't tell me. So I can just keep going. And so that's our sin nature going to do that. But if he want to do the right thing, he's going to say, hey, like you did, just backed off it and kept going in, under the law. Because we got to be obedient to the law even though we are free from it. that's the contrast, is even though we are free from it,
yeah,
we got to comply with it. And you will comply with it because you're not lawless. So you will comply with it. But the problem is that now if we have the freedom to do it and freedom not to do it, so we'll tell you what side you on.
I know that you when my just different things of the road and this, that, and the other, and they've gotten us also in line as right people. And so we may be, you know, driving speed limit, but then we see, you know, over sitting to the side, you know, or across the street, the police. So we try and be helpful, help other people and see, you know, have anybody done that? And just, you know, then them know if the people speed, you just, you know, hit flash strike, boom, boom, and they'll know that it's police, you know. And I was showing my son, and he said, "Really, Mom? They know that?" And I said, "Yeah, just watch." And I just said,
"Yeah."
I said, "Now look in the rear view mirror, see if he done tap this brake, slowing down." I said, "We so helpful. We try and help somebody else keep the law, so they won't be caught in the trap, you know." So.
Amen. That's true.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Amen. So we see our time is up. Amen. So we ended at verse 8. So we're starting at verse 9 next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So now we're moving into natural people. The natural and the law. So the law is unfold to in twofold manner, illustrate uses and illustration uses and the condemnation uses. We're going to talk about in the last the next couple of verses. So I give you didn't get a handout. Okay. Yeah, this is the outline. Yeah, everybody got an outline. Yeah, we want to make sure the context that we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, together, need an envelope. I got it. I don't have the square, so anybody need an envelope? Good measure, pressed down, taken together. Your men given to your bosom. Amen. Give your tithe, give your offering. I got a pen if you need that. And those of you online, just go to our app and give, and then text that amount to 770-906-0673.
206-0607. Amen. And the all hearts and minds are clear. Anybody else online have any further comment? Amen. So we thank God for this day. Thank God for this mercy. And we know that we are free in Christ to do his will. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Let you bless this word, oh God. Let it saturate our spirit. Let it get all in us, oh God. Let it be interwoven with us. Because you say, if my word abide in you and you abide in my word, you can ask for what you will. So, God, we thank you right now. We ask you to let go with us. Oh, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Bless Bible study tonight, God. Let your word go forth with power and the anointing and demonstration. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You are released to your day. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a good example.